Right now, it's time for Brian Ross to join us. Brian Ross joins us every Thursday at this time with Real News, where we take a look at news stories throughout our country, our region, and the world. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall. What a storm last night.
You know, I was mentioning that to our meteorologist. I was woken out of my sleep at about 9:30, I figure, with an amazing clap of thunder. But the thunderstorms didn't really stop till about 2 o'clock in the morning. It was just,
that's right. Boy, it was really something.
And I know people in Sharon that lost their power and didn't get it back until late in the day yesterday. And then when these storms came through back again, they lost their power again. I mean, we're just in a really weird cycle of weather, I'll tell you.
It's very tropical, and it makes you think about what is going on with climate change, whether it's just a unique summer, or we have lots of issues, of pointing out what happened down in Miami to that condo building, Champlain Towers, the rising water level there, and weak building code laws and weak enforcement. A lot of issues, and it makes you think about infrastructure in this country, what needs to be done.
And, it takes me back to the first responders. Last night they finally declared that it's no longer a rescue mission, it's a recovery mission. And I can't imagine what goes through the minds of those people, even though they're trained for this, that have to stay on that pile day after day and just looking for closure for families, knowing that there's nothing more they can do.
Absolutely heart-wrenching for everyone there, that gave their all, and just there was nothing left to be done.
All right. I want to switch over to, once again, someone who gets much too much attention, and that is, once again, the Republican who just cannot keep her mouth shut. And after she made one big error talking about Israel and Germany and the Nazis, Marjorie Taylor Greene did it again, showing she learned absolutely nothing from her visit to the Holocaust Museum.
Nothing to be learned, and this comes with the new book out by Michael Bender from the Wall Street Journal, quoting former President Trump's chief of staff, John Kelly, as saying, Trump claimed, Hitler did a lot of good things. Tell me about that, what that tells you about him.
Yeah, it's just hard to understand. But we are mired in our own political problems. And the thing about nowadays, Brian, is unlike in the old days where politics was politics, now politics extends out to everything else. The Delta variant is now a big political football again, and it seems like everything is split down by party lines, everything. It's not just political decisions.
I couldn't agree with you more, and it's really disheartening to see that. In terms of public health, should that really be a political issue? What is the politics of that to begin with? But with the resistance for so many Americans to get a vaccine, putting themselves at risk and putting the rest of the country at risk and taxing our health care systems, it's a head-scratcher for sure.
And when you would take a look around the country, I mean, most people in this country don't understand Haiti or understand what Haiti's all about. But once again, in a very unstable country, which is wide open to whoever wants to do what they want to do there, once again, the president of Haiti was assassinated. There was a gun battle last night where four of the assailants were killed. But this just describes the turmoil that goes around in every country, it seems like, in the world.
Right. Well, Haiti particularly is, one of the poorest countries. It's not maybe the poorest, but one of the poorest, certainly the poorest in the Western Hemisphere. And, it's not known who dispatched these men to kill the new president, who had been not really well known. He was a banana exporter. But he is the latest, of Haitian rulers to die there or to be imprisoned or to be under suspicion. And we don't know who did it, as I said, but they, according to the police accounts there, were Spanish-speaking. Now, Haitians speak a kind of French there, so it was not local people. And it'd be fascinating to find out, as we probably will today, since they've captured two of them alive, who they are and who sent them.
It's just one of those stories that once again opens your eyes. Let's come back to this country though, and in the country we talked a little bit about COVID and vaccinations. How do we get around this thing with vaccinations? Now, I'm a big believer. There's been, ever since the beginning of vaccinations, there's been people who don't believe in them and they don't take them, and it's their life, and I have no problem with them. But how do we get around, and how do we reformulate things so people don't feel that they have to follow their political idols when it comes to their health care? I mean, you know, I don't understand it, and I don't see an easy fix to this because it's infecting everything.
Well, it really has, talking about the infection. But, you know, it's very tough to force people to do something they don't want to do. And when it comes to that, you know, the government is treading carefully. President Biden's talking about a door-to-door outreach. It's all voluntary. Nobody's being forced to do it. I think the real issue will be when people more and more go back to work. Will companies require people to be vaccinated? Can they require people to be vaccinated? You know, when Bruce Springsteen opened up a week and a half ago on Broadway, it was only for those who could prove that they had been vaccinated. And so that's going to be an issue for people who have not been vaccinated. I'm sure they'll try to bring some sort of civil rights lawsuit. But for the greater protection, I don't really want to be in a place with people who haven't been vaccinated because, you know, are they carrying the new Delta variant, which is entirely possible. And that is a very virulent form of this virus, even worse than the original. Even with vaccinations, you're not fully protected against it.
Well, sitting from your perch here in Sharon, Connecticut, and taking a look what's going on in this country, what are the major problems you see that face the Biden administration in the upcoming months as they try to govern a seriously divided country?
Well, as you say, it's a pretty nice perch to begin to take a look at what's going on in the rest of the world. You know, Mr. Biden's got issues coming up in Afghanistan. We'll be speaking about that today. You know, almost all of the U.S. Troops are out of there, and we can expect over the next few months some very ugly scenes coming out of Afghanistan as the Taliban reaches for more power and takes over more territory. Those people who sided with the U.S., they're in danger, much as we saw in Vietnam in the early 1970s as the U.S. left there. So that's a big issue for him. The other big question for him now is, what does he do about these continued hacks by Russian-based criminal groups or Russian-based state actors, whoever they are? They seem to be coming from Russia. Putin certainly was warned by Biden when they met. He certainly has the ability to stop it. He hasn't. So now the question is, if Mr. Biden has drawn a red line, if they cross the red line, what does he do? He can't do nothing, it seems, or he has no impact behind his pledges. Will take action. So being closely watched today in Washington are those two sort of foreign policy issues, which I think loom large. And, of course, as we've talked before, Marshall, the other big thing that I think is of great concern is what is China up to? Will they make a move on Taiwan, which would embroil and bring in the U.S. in a big way? So in terms of foreign policy, those are three big issues that are very much on the front burner at the White House. The rest of it, you know, the infrastructure bills, it seems to be sort of chugging along with the Democrats have now set a deadline for the 19th to get a bill on the floor of the Senate. So that seems to be chugging along, this effort for bipartisanship that Mr. Biden is insisting on. There's some signs that it's there, not much of it, but some.
All right, and finally, I have to bring this up because it's in the classification. Sooner or later, this will be a question on Jeopardy. How far can you fall? How far can you fall? America's mayor, who was a dividable figure when he was mayor of New York, but basically after 9/11 came out of New York as a hero, whether he needed it or not. He had his law license temporarily suspended in New York, and now Washington, D.C. says pending that outcome of that case, they are taking away his right to practice law in Washington, D.C. I mean, this is an incredible fall for a man who at one point was a very well-respected man across this country.
I'll say, and as I've indicated to you before, I knew him as a reporter back in the early 80s when he was a senior Justice Department official at the in the Washington, the Reagan administration, and then as U.S. attorney in New York going after the mafia, Wall Street crooks. He was a champion for justice, and as you say, how far can you fall? You know, one of our Sharon neighbors here, Ken Freeman, lives on just down the block from you, was his press secretary when Giuliani first ran for office as mayor. And, you know, he's just stunned at what's happened. It's not the man he knew, who was highly ethical, would never cross a line. It's hard to explain. There, you know, is it all the divorces? Is he out of money? Has he lost his mind? I don't know. It's a sad story, and it's tragic. He lost his law license. As a practical matter, he really wasn't practicing law anymore, but it's not good, and I don't know what the next chapter is for Mr. Giuliani. I know his son's trying to run for office in New York. We'll see where that goes.
All right, and finally, speaking about New York, they've got to get better at holding elections in the city.
Well, they seem to have straightened it out. Now it looks like Eric Adams is the borough president in Brooklyn is going to be the next mayor of New York. The Democratic primary, the winner of that almost is certainly assured the job. Former police captain who ran hard on the issues of crime, which big cities are facing and staring at, and it's ugly, and we'll see what he can do. He's not the progressive that many in New York wanted, but this could be the new path for Democrats. Many are hoping around the country that, you know, Democrats who take crime seriously, is that a path for the Democratic Party to find a middle ground? Less progressive, but perhaps more electable.
All right, Brian, always great to talk with you, and once again, congratulations.
And to you, Marshall, and stay dry here, okay?
All right, and keep those people going. I see the library has moved into their new headquarters and working on renovations.
It's a great, Gretchen and the team there at the library have been doing great work, moving everything over to the Legion Hall as we get ready to begin construction on a great new addition. It's going to really make that library sing.
All right, Brian, have a great week. We'll speak to you next week.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Brian Ross and Real News here at Robin Hood Radio. And you can always find Brian at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Brian Ross and Real News.